Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. The scriptures marked NET are from the Net Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. This week's video begins with a request for you to keep the Lumleys in your prayers as they mourn Alan's passing, and also Amanda and her family as they grieve her grandfather. We would like to invite you to be part of our Christmas Story video project this year. Please check the video description for how to get involved, and thank you to those who have already recorded videos and sent messages. This week's message is titled, The Glory of Christmas. Thank you to Don, Jeff, and Rhonda for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Luke 2, 25-32, from the New English Translation. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout, looking for the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon, directed by the Spirit, came into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, Now, according to your word, Sovereign Lord, permit your servant to depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.
Good morning, and welcome to the services of the Church of Christ here in Beamsville. I'm going to read to you first from the 57th Psalm. Awake, my soul, awake, O stringed instrument and harp. I will wake up at dawn. I will give you thanks before the nations, O Master. I will sing praises to you before foreigners. For your loyal love extends beyond the sky, and your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Rise up above the sky, O God. May your splendor cover the whole earth. Well, as I said, welcome. We have a pretty decent crowd this morning. Let's go ahead and take a look at the announcements first, and then we'll have a prayer. Sorry if I caught you off guard there, Adam. We have at least one person here who's having a birthday. I'll point him out over there, Chris. Happy birthday to the others if they're watching. It may have passed their birthday by the time they see it. Okay, you had heard last week that we won't be having our usual Christmas Eve service, but Adam has an announcement that he would like to make about the alternative.
So this year, as noted, we're not going to have our Christmas Eve service, but what I would like to do instead, and this is open to everybody who's here, everybody who's watching, anybody who knows anybody who's here or watching, I have compiled some verses about the nativity story and the birth of Jesus. What I'd like to do, or what I'm hoping to do, is get as many people as would like to read, you know, two or three verses, or read the whole thing if you want, and then I'm going to put it together. You know those videos we've had of, like, the whole choir with everybody, you know, you see all the faces, and so what I'd like to do is do something like that, but with this reading. So it's about, I don't know, 30 or 40 verses altogether. I wouldn't expect anybody to read the whole thing, but you can if you want. And then I will take all of the people who want to do that and put that all together in one thing. If you are not here, or if you are not comfortable being videoed here, I am happy to, if you live, you know, reasonably close to Beamsville, I will come to your house and stand on your porch with my really very silly selfie stick and hold my camera up and, you know, get video of you. And what we really have missed is having, you know, we usually have a lot of people who do readings, who do different things here, and we haven't been able to do that. There are a lot of people we haven't seen at all in months and months and months. And so we'd like to make a way for people to be involved in that way. So I'm going to be here. I can film here while people are here. I have scripts. You'll get your own copy, and you won't have to share unless you want to. And just read, you know, three or four verses, and we'll put it all together. And then what we'll do is we will show that at the beginning of the service here on the 20th, and that'll be our introduction to that service. And that will also be played as part of the service for the people who are watching online, so we can connect to them. So thanks.
Adam, a question that comes straight to my mind. Do you have a preferred translation?
No, I'm pretty much good with anything. I've got an NIV because that's what I've got, but if you've got one that really speaks to you, read that one. Oh, I forgot one more thing.
Yes, any translation is great, and we can put it all together. And then the other thing is, if you are farther than Beamsville, if I can't drive to your house easily, but if you can figure out a way of taking a video of yourself on your laptop or with your phone, we can use those too. So you can get in touch with me. The people who are watching on video can reach out through Facebook Messenger or whatever, and I will tell you how to send me those videos. So that's that. So.
Okay. some prayer requests. You see about Kennedy, if you're here in the audience, having an allergic reaction, so we need to keep her in our prayers. It's good to see that she is home. Okay. And Jenny's great niece, who is having treatment for leukemia at only 5 years of age. And Amanda, our condolences to you at the loss of your grandfather. That's it. Okay, let's go to God in prayer then. Father, you truly do rise up and cover the skies. If I look at a sunset, I see your hand. If I see the moon and the stars, I see your hand. Father, if I see the clouds of November storms, December storms, Father, I see your hand. Thank you that you have created such a world for us, that you take care of us, that even when we don't think about it, so much is working for our good. And Father, it's easy in these times to lament the fact that we have had our freedoms and our liberties curtailed. But Father, just being alive to know you is above all things. Father, we pray especially for Kennedy, for Jenny's great niece, for Ellen, for all these people who are undergoing new treatments. We ask that you care for them. We pray for Amanda and the rest of her family at a loss. We thank you for the healing that we are seeing. We pray for continued healing for Kathleen. Father, we pray for Jim and Gloria as they face a difficult time. Father, there is so much that is wrong in the world, and we can get hung up on that. But there's so much that's great in the world because you've sent your Son. We celebrate this season because of your gift that brings us home to you. In him we pray, amen.
And welcome. The glory and the majesty of God is sometimes powerful, loud, and sometimes it's so quiet and gentle that it takes your breath away. I think it was last week at this time that snow was coming down, and it was actually a beautiful snow. And then on Monday, I was at Albright, and I decided to take a different route home. I was walking. I was going east on Hillside, and you could see Toronto across Lake Ontario. It's quite beautiful. But as I walked, I got closer to a vineyard. It wasn't the way I intended to walk back to the church. There was lots of snow, and I thought, why not go for a country walk in the snow? I can't duplicate what happened. And I'm not going to adequately be able to convey to you what happened. Just went for a walk. And as I'm going along through the vineyard, all of a sudden, the vineyard opens up into a section of the land that really hasn't been taken care of. I guess whoever owns the vineyard just thought, well, let's just leave that section by itself. And there was large trees and there were bushes and so forth. And it was as if I stepped into a new land. It's a bit of a valley, so you can't really look back and see the road, and you can't really see where you're going forward, but I know I was going in the right direction. But it just took my breath away. The snow was covering the trees, and each tree had a different shape to it because of the way the snow had fallen on the tree, laden with snow. And it was just pure and white and beautiful and pristine. And the only mark that was made was me, my footprints. I didn't want to interrupt anything, but it was just, Donnie, take the time and absorb your surroundings. So I spent a long time walking in that bush, and every place I went, it was magnificent. And all I could think about was, this is the glory and the majesty of God. Sometimes the glory and the majesty of God comes with loud noise, and sometimes it comes with pillars of fire, and we're going to look at that today. Sometimes it comes from the birth of a child in a way-off place in a manger. I just want to spend some time talking about this, and maybe you've had experiences in your life where it's powerful, bright, and the earth shakes. That's called the Shekinah glory of God. That's light, but it's more than light. That's noise, but it's bigger than noise. It's the power of God. And sometimes the power and noise of God is experienced in a gentle whisper, where the presence of God just overwhelms you. Back, even from the scriptures, back in the Old Testament, right up to the birth of Jesus, I want to spend some time looking at this power and glory of God. You may remember when Israel, being released from captivity some more than 400 years, and Moses is leading Israel outside and moving them along to a new land, a new place, wherever they're going to get there. And they traveled and they traveled and they traveled. When are we going to get there? But the glory of God directed them. Pillar of fire and the light that was there took them in a powerful way. So I'm going to read some scriptures today that you probably know fairly well. And if not, they will remind you of some of these stories that we learned when we were children that are profound, that gives us this experience of the power and the glory of God. In Exodus 33, God is talking to Moses, and Moses is talking to God. 33, and beginning in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence. That's what I experienced the other day. God's presence. So, did you hear his voice? No. Yeah. Did you see him? No. Yeah. My presence will go with you. Have you ever stopped to think that that's what God has said and does for us? My presence goes with you. Where you go, I go. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. But then the story picks up the pace. Moses said, now show me your glory. The glory and the majesty of God. Show me it. Show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. It's just too much for us humans. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face you mustn't see. Now, we don't have the time to go through all of this, but you may remember the story that when Moses comes down the mountain and the people are waiting for him, they have to go, he's so glorified. The light of God is all around him that they have to say to Moses, Moses, you have to cover yourself. Just the presence, the glory, the majesty of God is upon you. We need you to, you're just too powerful right now for us. And I'm thinking at Christmas time particularly. There's a lot of Christmas lights, and I sure enjoy them. I don't know about you. We went for a drive with our grandchildren through Smithville the other day, and there's some really beautiful homes all lit up, and it's fun, it's lovely, it's wonderful, it's bright, and it's good. And all throughout the scriptures, we have stories of brightness and how good that can be in our life. As John puts it, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And the light of God, of course, shines upon us. So just a couple of scriptures that I want to share with you, just sort of examples of what I've already talked about. In the book of 2 Chronicles, not a book that we read very often, but in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, the temple of God is being built. Oh man, it took so many years because of Israel's unfaithfulness. Finally, the temple of God is being built. And at the dedication of the temple, there is this Shekinah glory, this full light and brightness of God. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consume the burnt offering and all the sacrifices, listen, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Gives me goosebumps reading that. Can you imagine being there where the whole temple was full of the glory of God? You couldn't move. The glory of God was all around you. And there he is. The priests could not go in because of the glory of the Lord, because it filled it all. And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, then they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. So there's this unique experience all throughout the scriptures of the glory of God being all around. Probably one of the most profound passages, and this is a fairly common passage that we've known for years, is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a great book at Christmas time, of course, as it talked about the one who would come. But Isaiah himself, in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees something that's beyond himself. It's this powerful glory of God. And it says this in chapter 6 and verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." I've apologized to God and asked for forgiveness to God for many things, many times in my life, just as you have. And I've asked God for forgiveness in sometimes reading this too quickly and not allowing the majesty and the glory of God to slow down this reading and try to comprehend what Isaiah experienced. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." You see, when Moses said to God, "I want to see you," what did God say? "You can't. You can't see me. You can't see me and live. You can't see me." And it seems like there's these little bit of increments at a time where God's presence, God's glory, gets a little closer to people. Here, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his," what? "Glory." Sometimes the glory of God is found walking in snow, just somehow getting into a place where it's so picturesque you can't hardly believe it. It's a Hallmark experience. And it's just, wow, it's the glory of God. Sometimes the glory of God is Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. It's powerful. It's the glory of God. And if you've missed the glory of God this year, hopefully, even though it's a difficult year, hopefully you'll grab this presence of God. Isaiah did. And we have the profound scripture that was written in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where he says, and many of you could quote this, "For to us a child is born." For those of you that have children, do you remember the first time you laid eyes on the first of your children, the firstborn? Do you remember, as a mom or dad, the very first baby you had? Do you remember what that baby looks like? I bet you do. It's majesty. It's glory. The manger scene of this Christ child. Didn't realize it, but you're looking into the face of God. walking through some snow. It just was brilliant. And there are times in life where something just grabs us. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This majesty of God is such a profound experience that we can all have. Then I want to go to another passage, and I'm beginning to wind this up now. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a very difficult book to read. It's very symbolic. There's a lot of different pictures. There's a lot of noise. There's lots of different things going on all around. It's an apocalyptic book in many ways. It's mystical. It's magical in many ways. It's also very, very profound. But one of the things that the book of Ezekiel tells us is the glory of God was seen in his temple, but because Israel no longer followed God, and the temple itself was pretty empty, and the priests quit practicing, and the people quit listening to the priests, and they quit worshiping God, the glory of the Lord was leaving that temple. And it's one of the sad experiences, but it's one of the profound experiences that the Lord gives us these many years later is when this happens. Verse 18 of chapter 10 of Ezekiel, powerful scripture. Then the glory of the Lord departed. Oh no. Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. Do you remember what a cherubim is? Do you ever see the cherubs? They're like little babies with wings, kind of floating around. But if you ever have time, I'd encourage you to look at how often the cherubs are found in Scripture. These cherubim, these angels, there's baby-looking angels, but they carry out the work of God. And here it says, the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim, though they have wings. And while I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground as they went, and the wheels around them went with them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. Now that's got to take your breath away. Just this majesty of God. Sometimes it doesn't come with any kind of expectation. Most of the times, the things that take our breath away come to us without even knowing they're going to happen. And many of you can experience things that have happened in your life where you can still feel it inside of yourself. Christmas is a reminder of the glory of God and the majesty of God. Then I want to look at in Matthew chapter 2, this is a beautiful scripture that many of us have read over the years about the Magi who traveled so far to find following this star. We're not exactly sure who the Magi are. Most people think that there are some kind of Zoroastrian kings, very powerful people. They probably traveled some 300 or 400 miles on the back of horses or camels or something like that. That's a long way to travel, but they followed this star and they wanted to know what was happening here. And it's a scripture that is really, in so many ways, very, very powerful. In Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was with him. And I won't read all that scripture. That's when Herod wanted to get rid of the Messiah, this Christ child, and that's another sermon at some other time. But it says, after they had left, and they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Have you ever stopped to think, how did they worship? Was it two songs of prayer and a reading? Was it? No. Probably no words. It was, wow. Oh God. Wow. Here you are. Here you are, God, as a baby. Christmas can be commercial, light, in many ways. But it also can be a reminder of the majesty and the glory of God. Let me conclude. I'm sorry if I'm taking too long. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, we find this. And picture this, if you will, as I read. Just picture it in your mind. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. I guess so. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That's us too. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Can you imagine being there, seeing that, hearing that? The glory of God. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. That's not something that can be duplicated. Jesus isn't going to be born again. He was born. My little walk in the orchard, it'll never happen again. Well, I'll walk through orchards, and I'll walk through trees, and there'll be snow, but it won't be like that. Sometimes in life, the glory of God, the presence of God, comes to us alone with a gentle whisper, which reminds us, as God promised, "I am with you always." May Christmas be a glorious time and a majestic time for you this year. Amen.
Welcome to our time of communion, and welcome to those of you who are in this building, and welcome to those of you who are not in this building and who are worshiping all over North America with us today. There are some people who, when they take communion, they all drink from one cup. And so they're all sharing each other's germs, and they're all drinking from that one cup. And I want to give you a little bit of a glimpse of what that looks like. And so I was trying to think of an example of what it looks like to drink from one cup. And I thought of a person in our congregation. Some of you may know him, one of you may be him. And This person has been going to Alcoholics Anonymous for many, many years now. Not because he's an alcoholic per se, maybe, but because he's there for the people. He's not there to shake his head and go, "Oh, brother." He's not there to shake his finger. He is there to provide support. He's there to drink of one cup with those, with the people that he's with. And I think that's a good example of what we're doing here. We're here to drink of one cup. We're here to take on the germs, take on the sins, take on of each other. There's a lot of people in our world right now who are emotionally and spiritually struggling, and they need connection with others, and they need to drink of one cup, and it's our responsibility to do to help them in that way. We have an oxymoron in our world. The government, the public health officials are saying to us that if we, in order to be physically healthy and alive, we have to keep our distance. We have to wash our hands. We have to wear a mask. Christ tells us in order to be spiritually healthy, we need to come close. We need to touch his wounds. We need to touch each other's wounds. We need to drink of one cup. And so this is where we are. We can't just say, well, COVID's going to be over one day. COVID may be over one day, but that's not where we are today. Where we are today is right here. We're right here with this oxymoron going on where we're saying, we're being told to keep apart, and but we have to touch each other's wounds at the same time. And so it's a time for creativity. It's a time for thinking about how can we drink of one cup? How can we do that? And some of you are doing that by reaching out to people on your phone. Some of you are doing that by reaching out to people via email. Jeff and Janet did that this summer by going to a lot of people's homes and taking them corn on the cob and doing something like that. Paul has started some small groups that have been actually quite fabulous. I was part of, for the first, like it was our first week this last week, so I was part of that group this week, and I got to see Debbie for the first time since March, that I got to actually see Debbie, and it was so neat to see her. We laughed, we cried, we prayed, and it was a beautiful experience. Even though we were doing it via Zoom, we were seeing each other, and we were drinking of one cup, and that's one creative way that Paul came up with, that we can drink of one cup, is by doing the Zoom small group. And so I want you to indulge with me today as we take the bread and as we take the Christ's body and Christ's blood, and I want you to imagine that we're not spread all over this building, and we're not spread all over this community, and we're not spread all over the globe. But imagine that we're drinking one cup together, and we're sharing one bread together. And then use that and take it with you, and do that. Try and be a one cup congregation. And if we do that, we're going to survive this, and we're going to survive this as a church, and we're going to be stronger when we're through with COVID than we are right now. Dear God, thank you so much for all of the people who are worshiping, the people who are worshiping in this building, the people who are worshiping at home, and who are longing to be closer physically, and that to be able to touch, to be able to hug, to be able to be part of this group and to be able to worship together. But help us all to be one, even though that we are separated, and help us to to drink of your blood together, and we pray that your blood will purify us and that your body will strengthen us, and that we will be a better people for partaking together, even though we're physically apart. And give us the strength and the courage to reach out to others and to do everything possible that we can to drink of one cup. In Jesus' name, amen.
There will be one more song after this prayer. Let's go to God now. Father, as Moses, as Isaiah, as Donnie, and as Simeon, we have seen your glory. We have seen your salvation. And it is in the form of your Son. And we've seen him at his baptism, in which you demonstrated your trust and your admiration for him. And we've seen him at the cross, suffering the anguish of being apart from you, but doing it because he wanted us to have a part with you. And Father, as Rhonda has reminded us, we share together in all of that. And now, Father, you send us out into the world, and we may have to be distanced, but we can still take the great news of your Son. And we thank you that that news is that we have a home, and it's with you. Give us ready words and love for the people we see virtually or from a distance, knowing that you have loved us all and you've watched us always from a distance, but that you want us to come home. Father, we thank you for the promise, just as Simeon saw, of a home that we can come to. We thank you and we praise you for the love that saw it through. And we look forward to rejoicing with you in person. Thank you, Father. Bless us this week, where we pray through the name of your Son and through your Spirit. Amen.
The Beansville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beansville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beansvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.